I just want to this morning just share just a few thoughts just about the Lord had kind of seven statements of the great I Ams, and I've forgotten when it was now, but I did a little talk about I am the bread of life, and then next is I am the light of the world. And I just wanted to share some thoughts this morning on Jesus being the light of the world. We are in dark times. If you were here on Thursday night at the prayer meeting, there's a sense in which there is a darkness that in some places surrounds things. And I'm aware of it, and I know others are, but sometimes your heart can be drawn so much to knowing what the darkness is that we can forget that there is a great light. There really is, that shines in the darkness. Oh Lord, it shines in this obscure little place in my work where there is dark that comes in after the weekends, the darkness that comes in as a gloom, as a cloud. But the Lord has put a little bit of a light, a bit of a candle in someone there that just wants to be, that wants to go out. And the darkness these days, it's, oh, in the places where you think maybe 30 years ago it wouldn't have become, it has. Education. Media. Oh, the darkness. And it comes in such a subtle form. In other forms, it's right in your face. And I think really the challenge today is, and I think the Lord, he so loves the church, he gave himself for it, that he wants the little candles to shine in our hearts. Can I put it like that? It says it in Psalms, that he lights a candle in our heart. Oh, just, I want that candle not to go out. When I read so many things of what's going on in the world, sometimes I feel like, oh, candles, I mean, what is that going to do? What is this little candle going to do? But the Lord says, press on. I'm your light. Precious Lord. There, I'm finished. I'm done. Oh, light of the world. I just want to just go through two illustrations about the light of the world, okay? With a woman and a man. And the first one is, and Paul's done this reading here, in my Bible it says, the adulteress faces the light of the world. And I never really thought that this was kind of an apt illustration of the light of the world, but it is. And I just want to go through this, and you know the story very well. Some people may not know the story very well, that's why I think it's good to have it read. We can take it so granted for granted that we know these stories, but in actual fact, just to hear it being read is wonderful. It's truth, it's light. I just want to go through it and pick up, if you're in chapter 8 of John, is that okay? The adulteress faces the light of the world. Now, verse 2, now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Just want to stop there and just want to go through this a little bit in a methodical way. But that phrase of being set in the midst, it comes later on in the same few verses, but it's Jesus that actually does the setting in the midst. This here was a group of people, I know it often says Jews in the Bible, we mustn't think that it was all Jews. Okay, when Jesus says and rebukes the Jews, it's not all the Jews. Often he says the Pharisees and the scribes, those that have even kind of added laws to the laws that were already there. Okay, but they were the ones that set this woman in the midst, and they made a show of her. They made a show of her amongst everyone that was there. Yes, she was caught in adultery. And according to the law in the Old Testament, what they were doing was right, but their whole heart state was wrong in what they were trying to do. And they were trying to trick and catch Jesus out. Okay? That's a little bit of a context of this story now. So they set her in the midst. And then it goes on. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? And they're trying to trick Jesus, okay? And you kind of think, well, where's he going to go with this, with answering this question? Where can the Lord Jesus go in answering this? And then it says in verse 6, thus they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. I'd love to have known what he wrote in the sand. I wonder if he wrote something from the Old Testament that maybe would have been a reminder to those that have known their scripture and known their laws. I wonder. And I know it's something that no one knows, do they? But it could have been something of a reminder. He was after their conscience. Anyway, I know that. So he stooped down and wrote in the ground with his finger. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up. And then he said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. And here's another thing where I said earlier on about that they set her in the midst, the accusers. Then it says here, and the woman standing in the midst, alone with Jesus. And I was thinking, what a comparison. The world loves to, in some ways, be the accuser. Especially the accuser of the brethren these days. They're the ones that want to catch people out. You've probably heard it, that the person from, I'm not sure if I should even mention it, maybe it could be edited out, but the Cliff College, the lecturer from Cliff College, who has said things on Twitter and now he's losing his job and the various things. When you go on the realm of media and social media, it's there that the battleground is being fought. Okay, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the spiritual, in the spiritual places. In some ways we must keep praying, but it's that they want to accuse the brethren. And if you make a stand these days, then you have to be ready for it. And these were wanting to accuse Jesus, the light of the world. But it was him. Jesus was left alone and a woman standing in the midst. What company she was in. She was with the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, and I think there's something in this response. I think there's repentance in it, and I think there's faith in it. She said, no one, Lord. Oh Lord. Sometimes I'm not sure what to pray and who to pray for, but the two words that often come out my mouth is first is, oh Lord. Oh Lord. Him first. Oh Lord. Then you can go into all your requests and all your things that you're struggling with and all the different, but first, oh Lord. She said, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This was not, in some ways, a real softy approach to sin, by the way. When he uttered those words, sin no more, it actually came with a real weight to it. Honestly, it was, go and sin no more. Break the habit of things that are in your life. It was that kind of language, things that you've been involved in. Things that maybe that you've seen in the past. It was this thing of no, go and sin no more. There was a break to something. That's what the light of the world does. He comes in and he breaks things. And the light comes in and disperses the darkness. Oh, wonderful. It's very hard to express it. But I was once in darkness. Now my eyes can see. and I have terrible eyesight. But you know what I'm saying? In here, a heart that sees. Then Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Two words that are really linked in Scripture is light and life. Okay? If you have light, you'll have life. And if you have life, you'll have light. Isn't that true? Things will grow. You'll know where you're going. You won't be walking into lampposts. You won't be stumbling around thinking, what am I? The eye is the lamp unto the body. And the Lord wants us to have good eyes. And we need it in these days when there are clouds and darkness that so surround. Lord, give us spiritual eyes that we can see you. The wonderful thing about the work of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit is that he keeps on revealing Jesus in our lives. He does. We often have heads that start looking around a little bit horizontally, and we look at all the different big issues, the cares, the hurts. I'm convinced the Holy Spirit sometimes wants to get our heads and our neck and have them slightly looking up here. Set our mind on things above. And I confess to being sometimes in the last 2 years, I often get so caught up in the cares and in some ways the darkness of this world, I've forgotten that there's a great light that's wanting to shine in this little earthen vessel. And this woman, she met the light of the world. She was in darkness. Can I say just something about these stories like this here? And I've been reading through the parables and been doing a few parables with the young people in the Inters group. I'm quite convinced that the Lord, I've looked through all the different audiences that the Lord speaks to. And it's quite fascinating, but when he's saying the story, you think he's talking to the woman. But the huge thing is that he's talking to those that are listening in, those that are in the room that actually walked out one by one. Interestingly, the older one went first. I think because of the thing back then, the tradition, if there's an older one went first, then the young ones would have just followed. But in the parables, Jesus wasn't just speaking to the sinners and the tax collectors around the table. It was the Pharisees and some of the Jews that were listening in too. Jesus had an incredible audience. And if you're not sure about being a light in the world, don't get too hung up about it, because the Lord works in and through us, and we don't always know what the audience is, but the Lord can shine through us. I'm convinced of it. You can get so caught up with, and I'm thinking about my workplace now, they're not listening this morning. I won't say their names, but my heart is for them. But the thing is, we're not sure sometimes how our light is going, but if we're just in communion with the Lord Jesus, we are shining. We are shining within our families. We really are. We're shining in our workplaces. We're shining in our schools, in education. The Lord came and shone his light on this woman's life and said, go and sin no more. He also shone for those that were there too, that ignored the light and wanted to go their own way. And that does happen. Precious Lord, I've not gone to any of my notes. Oh, I just put in here that the Lord Jesus turned a legal squabble into a moral issue. I find that incredible. By his answer to those that accused him, he turned something that was a legal issue where she should have been stoned and also the man should have been punished too. He turned that right away round into a moral issue and turned it back on those. That's incredible. Oh, the Lord. Grace. Legalism. It can become and be in church too, by the way. So legalistic on one side of it. Well, that's not been done. No, that doesn't go along with how I perceive things. Then there's this grace that comes in and floods in. Oh, and the Lord just enlightens something, brings light into a situation that's so hurtful. Maybe a dispute, maybe an issue. We must allow the Lord's light just to come in. Oh, not hold on to that. Well, I used to do it 30 years ago, and it's always worked like that. This is the method that we're going to do. I've been thinking about church strategies and methods. Sometimes the Lord will come in, and he'll just shine his light on something, and it'll be like, oh, wow. He's moved in a situation I never thought would happen. Wonderful Lord. Jesus turns the challenge to his accusers. None of them threw a stone, by the way. I would have liked to have seen them walk out. Was it a walk of, oh, he's got us again. He's got us again. He's such a clever teacher. You know that they actually went, they had to give a little bit of a, they had to go back and tell their, you know, why did you not get him? He was right there for the picking. Why not? And they're actually just caught by the way he taught. The spirit, the life of the Lord Jesus, the light. They couldn't comprehend it. And I find that just so encouraging these days. You may not have all the incredible words to speak to those that don't believe. Don't worry, they'll see the deeds that you do. May my deeds outrun my words. I think we sung earlier on, wasn't it? Keep going with the deeds. If you're not sure what words come out, keep going with the deeds of love. Jesus is after those that are lost. Think about those parables of the lost son, the lost sheep and the lost coin. We've been doing it with the young people out there, and I was thinking, who was it that was really lost? And I was thinking about the eldest son, and you know the story of the prodigal son? I think the eldest son was so lost. He was lost in his own, I'm very righteous. I don't need this light, I'm okay. But in some ways it was the younger son who was lost and came to a place of real repentance. That was when he was found. Precious Lord. I want to go to another place. Is that okay? Just a second illustration. I'm aware of time. Just before I go there, can I just a little story from a D.L. Moody antidote. Anyone heard of D.L. Moody? He's an American guy. I think he died in the end of the 19th century. I found this little story, which I find just an encouragement. I'm just going to read it to you. Is that okay? It's a real... I think I read it. I think my mum has a daily reading thing. And we were out for a meal with her for I think it was her birthday. And I just caught a glimpse of it on her phone. So I just took a photo of it. So there's no copyright there, but... Okay, it says this, this is D.L. Moody. I remember hearing of a man at sea who was very seasick. I don't know if you've experienced that before. If there is a time when a man feels that he cannot do any work for the Lord, it is then, in my opinion. While this man was sick, he heard that a man had fallen overboard. He was wondering if he could do anything to help to save him. He lay hold of a light and held it up on the porthole, which is a little hole which often would let light come in, but he was putting light out. The drowning man was saved. When this man got over his attack of sickness, he was up on the deck one day and was talking to the man who was rescued. The saved man gave his testimony. He said he had gone down the second time, this is under the water, and was just going down again for the last time, when he put out his hand. Just then, he said, someone held a light at the porthole, and the light fell on his hand. A man caught him by the hand and pulled him into the lifeboat. It seemed a small thing to do to hold up the light, yet it saved a man's life. If you cannot do something great, if you cannot do some great thing, you can hold the light for some poor perishing drunkard who may be won to Christ and delivered from destruction. Let us take the torch of salvation and go into these dark homes and hold up Christ to the people as the Saviour of the world. It really encouraged me in some ways in this dark time that we can still now hold up the little light. And if you feel pretty worthless and even places of darkness in your own heart, may I just say, yield yourself and say, Lord, come, fill me again. Precious Lord. Anyway, just a little story. I do love that. Just going on, if you just turn with me to Acts chapter 26, this is the man, just an illustration of the man. You'll know where I'm going. This is on the road to Damascus. This is Paul. This is just a little testimony from Paul. Now, if we go to verse 12, is that okay? Chapter 26, verse 12. This is Paul that's given an opportunity to share a little bit about his own testimony, and it was used as a defense, okay? He was being accused again. There's probably a theme this morning that we will be accused, and if you love the Lord, we will be accused more and more in these days. I think the devil, I think, almost originally was a false accuser, wasn't he? He was the real false accuser. So the world will be like that. In all that you do and what you make a stand for, there will always be an accusation. And these days, if you only need to make an accusation, the person can be shut down without any trial, without any legal process, and you'll be shut down and you'll lose your job. Okay? Does that sound great? And well, it doesn't, does it? But this is the persecution, this is the trial that Christians will go through more and more. And the Church of England now are actually facing things now that's actually dividing their church because of making a stand for the true and living gospel. We will also need to do the same. Then Paul now, saying a few bits about his testimony, says this, this is verse 12, while thus occupied, and I think this was in his mind and his body, he was on a mission, Paul, and that was to do some damage, I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. I think that sounds a bit proud to me. This is Paul when he's kind of really wanting to persecute the church, okay? At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen on the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? God, I will get it right. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of both the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. What a wonderful story. And if you think my testimony does not match up to that, I didn't have a Damascus Road experience, don't worry, the light was still the same. The impact was still the same. And he's still the same today. The light still shines in the darkness and changes people's lives. We heard it. Gillian prayed it earlier on from the heart. Thank you for changing my life. Paul's life was so changed, so completely changed. It said here about kicking against the goads. What does that mean? What does kicking against the goads mean? Okay, I had to do a little bit of homework. And I do love doing a little bit of the old homework where you have to kind of work out what you're saying up here, okay? You can't just say things and then not. Okay, so it was just a picture of like an ox, okay, and it's ploughing the ground and there would be a farmer behind the ox or the cattle, and they sometimes want to go in their own direction. I don't know if you've experienced this in your life, but sometimes you just want to go in your own way, don't you? You just kind of veer off somewhere, okay? You're just kind of set on going in, I am going abroad to do this, I will do this. Okay, sometimes the Lord gets the goad, the stick out, and it's got a sharp end on it, and it just hits the hind legs. Okay, you're just starting to go off and veer off. He'll just little tap, and it's quite painful. Okay, I don't know if this is relevant for anyone here, or maybe you're all just so, you've just had a perfect walk, haven't you? Where you just, you haven't, bless you. There's two of us. But the Lord, in His grace, will just get that prod and He'll just steer you back on track. And He did to Paul. And he said, why are you persecuting me? And I think He's so wonderful in His grace, the Lord Jesus, that when His light comes into your life, He brings direction back. He brings new good eyes. And Paul was wanting to fight it. And this is Paul's testimony that it took an amazing experience on the road to Damascus to get him back on track, to get him in some ways new and fresh with the Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? But there's something deep in us sometimes that battles against it often. There's an inner strength and we're like, no, I've done this before, it's going to be fine, you know? I get it like it when I'm trying to fix something at home. No, I don't need it, no, I've got this, it's going to, and then it's like it never gets fixed. We can really, really fight against it. But this, for me, is an illustration that Paul and the Lord wanted his conscience to be changed. And that's what the light does. It changes our conscience. There's a famous picture called The Light of the World. I think it's in St. Paul's Cathedral by Holman Hunt, I think it is. And there's a picture of, there's a light around his head, which is the light of salvation. This is Jesus standing at a door. There's a light around his head and there's a light with a lamp down here. And that lamp is about the lamp. It's called the lamp of conscience, which basically means that when this light comes, it brings a new conscience in our hearts, a new knowledge of good and evil, almost of sinning or not. Amazing. And I think Paul had that. His conscience was pricked. And in some ways, it goes on. Where am I now? Time is. I'm nearly there. Sorry. Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then it says about the light so shining around him. And I think for Paul, I think his conscience was changed along with his whole life on that road. Incredible. It was miraculous. But I think with it, and I'm just a little bit in my little imagination, bear with me, don't throw me out. But I kind of think, you know when they killed Stephen and they stoned him? Paul was there. And what did they do when Paul was there? They took their clothes off, didn't they? Their jackets, and they laid it at the feet of Paul. And I almost think that even when the Lord came in that bright light in Paul's life, it may have even just triggered a thought of guilt of his life, of what he'd done before. The Lord can do that. It's a true, incredible gift of repentance, is that you can just think, it's a total change of direction from what I was doing before into the great light. You think about Paul and those things that he stood there and he allowed it. They took Stephen's life. They threw stones at him and he... Precious Lord, how he knows our histories and how he wants his light to so shine in these days. Anyway, we're coming to an end. I was going to go on. There's a syndrome called SAD. SAD. Honestly, and it does affect many people. I've chatted to someone about it at work. It's called, well, it's It's seasonal affective disorder. And it does affect many people. Persistent low mood. The loss of pleasure and interest in normal everyday activities. Irritability. Feelings of despair, guilt and worthlessness. And there are things that they try and help to sort of make these things better, okay? But it just, in some ways, gave me a little bit of an illustration of the darkness that can come down in people's lives. Oh, to look up again at the light. He has come to so shine brightly. Just a verse here, Psalm 18. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Amazing. Loads of scriptures. Isaiah, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. 1 John, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Ephesians, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians again, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Oh, you could go on. Romans, it talks about putting on the armour of light. I never knew there was an armour of light. I knew there was an armour in Ephesians for battle, but there's an armour of light. Incredible gospel. Amen. Our time's gone. Let me just pray. I'll just finish now. Should we pray? I do want to stir hearts to say that there is still a wonderful light, the Lord Jesus. Precious Lord. Oh Lord. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we have been able just to know you again, Lord. Lord, in ways of singing, of praying, of just being with one another, but we thank you that your light so shines. Lord, I pray for anyone this morning that feels in some ways that the candle is just about flickering. Maybe the candle's gone out. Lord, I pray through your wonderful grace and mercy, Lord, light the candles in our hearts, Lord, that we may in our own way make a stand for you, Lord Jesus, in these days when people are searching. Precious Lord, we love you. Amen, Lord.